All right. We spent the first part of this morning talking about and reading through chapter 4, and now we're going to focus on a section of chapter 4 that has to do with right praying, right thinking, and right acting. And this is what your table exercise has been about. What is it that St. Paul has to say about these various areas of our lives? And the first group that I'd like to hear from are the people who had the piece of paper, I can't remember which color it is, about praying, yellow. If you're at a yellow table, I'd like to hear from you all about what you think is St. Paul's idea about right praying. What does right praying involve? And this is verses 6 and 7 in this chapter. What does right praying involve? Yes? Okay. Okay.
Bring everything.
Great. I love that, Kelly. So don't delineate what you think you should or shouldn't bring. Go ahead and bring it all. I love that. So right praying involves bringing it all to Him. Great. What else? Yes.
Thanksgiving, whether it's in troubled times or in positive times. Kathleen was speaking of such with, you know, you're not always going to be in just a great place. So you always have to be, you look at some of the negative things that have happened, especially what has happened on Monday, and you look at the greater humanity. And I think, for example, like when you were saying, Kathleen, when you have one individual that caused so much harm, but look at the hundreds of the wonderful, heroic, and God-giving, beautiful humanity of others that, you know, sacrificed their lives and did so much. So look at things half full, look at the silver lining, that sort of thing.
That's great. So giving up control is part of right praying, and making sure you include thankfulness in the perspective of the glass can be half full, even in crisis, is part of right praying. Fantastic. What else from the yellow tables? What else does Paul say is part of right praying? Praying right. Anything else? Kelly, yeah? They're just making you say it. We get it. They're too shy to speak up. Thank you for speaking up.
Specific in detail.
Okay. Thank you. And in the biblical worldview, we know that God knows our prayers. The Bible tells us even before we ask. So what is the point, do you think, of asking and asking specifically? If God already knows what we need. Gail?
For us to think through what the situation is.
For us to think it through. Perhaps for us to settle our minds. For us to get in communion and relationship with Him. Fantastic. Marilyn?
But I also think it's the ability give it to God. You know, that this, we're not, as you all said, you're not in control. And when I have to list what I want, it is saying to God, I can't do this without you. I can't do anything without you. So here it is. And just, you know, answer me as you will.
Fantastic. And which gets back to our idea that a few of the other verses outside of Philippians we read are dependent on Christ. We're not in control. We can't do all this. We can't solve all this. We can't figure it all out without Him. Fantastic. What about the second part of that? He promises us, Paul says that if we do this, that we'll gain the peace of God which passes all understanding. What does that look like in someone? Do you know anyone that has the peace of God that passes all understanding? What does that look like in someone who regularly turns their prayers and their requests with thanksgiving and supplication over to the Lord and doesn't worry quite as much? Amy.
Tragedies, or losses, or disappointments, and yet
Right. It doesn't make sense. They're undergoing dire circumstances, like the example Kathleen used of their young friend who had ovarian cancer. She was so joyful. She didn't live too long after that diagnosis, and yet she had the peace that passes all understanding. Any other comments about what that looks like in someone? Usually what's so baffling about it is the person is undergoing a real hardship, and they still have this abiding sense of calm or joy or moving forward or whatever it is, right? It has to be that rooting in prayer. Look out for those people. If somebody like that comes to your mind this week, write it down, because we're going to get into right acting in a couple of minutes. And Paul says, imitate me, what you have learned from me, imitate me. If you know someone who has the peace that passes all understanding, might be worth imitating some of the things that they do on a regular basis. Bridget. That's wonderful. It's almost like training. When you said that, I thought about training. You know, we're trying to get in shape for something or conditioned for something or develop a habit. The regularity of it, the consistency is really important. That's a great point. So we develop the habit of turning our worry and anxiety into prayer, and the result of that is a peace that passes all understanding. Does that make sense? We could do a whole Bible study on just the two verses, don't you think? But we don't have time. We're going to move on. All right. What color is the piece of paper that is about right thinking?
Gray.
Gray. All right. If you're at a gray table, tell us what, this is Philippians 4:8, the subject of Tommy Newberry's book. What does Paul have to say about right thinking? What is thinking the right way involved? Joanne, thank you for standing up as loud as you can.
Okay.
Great, Joanne. And you know, it brings me, what you said reminds me of something I read in one of the commentaries, especially for those of us who are news junkies or social media junkies. It's real, real easy to get worried and anxious about things that we don't have any control of. For example, we didn't have any control of what just happened in Las Vegas, in Paris, in Sandy Hook, in all these various places. There are things we can do as response, but we didn't have a lot of control over that. And I know in my own life, when I'm just on a continual diet of the news or Facebook or social media, I get very, very anxious and upset. So I like that you mentioned trying to stay focused on things that are positive, things that are within our control, almost trying to control our mind with what we think. And we'll talk in just a minute about how we can do a little mental hygiene in our lives. But what else did you all come up with? That was great, Joanne. What else does St. Paul have to say about right thinking?
We talked about how the right thinking sets you up for right acting.
Okay.
That if really do allow your mind to be on things that are worthy of praise, and you focus on those things, that it will set you up to be able to act in the right manner. And we even talked about the scientifics of it. Stacy had talked about a book when she was a coach called Psycho-Cybernetics, where, and they did a study, and I don't know if I'm going to say this right, you might have to do it, but one of
them. That's good. Okay, segue
straight into this. Okay. Well, remember I was in high school when I did this research, but I read a book called Psycho-Cybernetics, and I said it was Marx, but it's Maltz, M-A-L-T-Z. And he did a study I did it from a perspective of sports, but he did it for everything. But he took a focus group of three groups, a basketball player that shot 100 free throws a day, one that shot 50 free throws a day and imagined shooting 50 a day, and then one that imagined shooting 100 a day. And he discovered that the one that did both positive thinking and actually did the act of shooting free throws was the most successful. So it's those people that think positively and do positively become the most successful. And it's just a really interesting book, but it's all about how you train your mind to do what you want it to do from a physical standpoint.
Love that. Isn't that interesting? Has anybody ever noticed when Tiger Woods was more in his heyday, every time he got interviewed, even if he played terrible, it was the worst shot, blah, 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 he always said, well, you know, he always had something positive to say. I was thinking, no, you really didn't do that well, but he was thinking that he did, and his thinking that way lent itself to a lot of success for him. But you see this in sports, especially sports psychology and that kind of thing.
And you know how, you know, God doesn't waste anything. He's telling us through the Bible how to act so that we can, you know, be kind and good to others. But then these things also not only help us with our relationships with others, these are healthy things that we do for ourselves. So it's multi-purpose. It's a multi-purpose verse.
Yes.
You know, where he talks about how we act, but then also how, you know, this is best for your spiritual condition. This is best for your human condition. This is best for you.
Yes.
Too.
The benefits of this are tremendous.
Right. Gray table people, what were your suggestions about performing a little mental hygiene in your life on a day-to-day basis?
Okay, we just tossed out a few suggestions.
Okay. All right.
That's to try to be honorable, just, pure, lovely, gracious, and really worthy of praise.
And how are we going to do this? Because I can't even, I can only do one of those about every 3 weeks. So how are we going to do this, ladies? Right, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. I have a bracelet someone gave me when my husband passed away that is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. And so we can do all of this, but we have to do it through him. I know I'm incapable on my own. Michelle, what did your table have?
It's not at me because I have
to. Okay, I'm calling on you. Now's your time, babe.
So we focus a lot on hygiene and how that kind of sort of signaled like things that you should daily, like brushing your teeth, and so that your prayer life has to become like brushing your teeth every day, and how you really need to sustain that through the day and try to do positive things through the day like that. And we talked about how it's sort of garbage in, garbage out. So if you're watching, you know, trashy TV or news or whatever, that and just focusing too much on pop culture, that a way to sort of do the mental hygiene is just try to eliminate that and focus only on the good and the pure and
that's fantastic. It may require cutting out some things, cutting out some, you know, news time, cutting out watching E! Exclamation point every so often, or getting, you know, not being on Instagram so much or Facebook. Yes, the hygiene, it's interesting to think of it, isn't it, sort of purifying our mind from a hygiene perspective? How do we clean ourselves up? I love that, that y'all focused on that. Any other ideas about mental hygiene? Yes?
Okay, you said that.
Okay.
And one of the people in her group said that her son, every time she calls him, says, "I'm fantastic," when he, you know, she asks how he is. And we can do that. We can reply that we're good because there's something always good that we can report on. That we can also list what we're thankful for. And if all else helps, we can take the advice of TV, Saturday Night Live, and we can look in the mirror and say, "I'm good enough. I am smart enough. And by golly, people like me."
Positive self-reinforcement, yeah.
Yes, or from the help where he was kind, he was smart, he was
important. So there are some things we can watch that actually will bring us some good messages. Thank you, Tay. Well, Anne, did you want to add anything to that?
Just one final comment.
Stand up, please, baby.
Those of us that are just human and sometimes aren't perfect with all this, that maybe
we can fake it till we make it.
you know. I mean, really, they say if you're having a bad day, if you just smile anyway, you'll eventually forget why you were not having a good day and just take over. So maybe we could, like, emulate those qualities, maybe if we're having a hard time getting there and
Right thinking is a choice of the will.
You may not feel like doing it. So would right praying be, actually, right? It's an exercise of your will to do this, even when you maybe don't feel like it. So think about that. All right, let's get to the, we must be on the green now. The green folks dealt with verse 9, which is right acting. According to Paul in verse 9, what does right acting entail?
Yes,
Susan.
Okay, good. Susan's new to the study. I'm proud of you, Susan.
Okay, so obviously we follow Paul's lead.
Okay.
Who talks about acting with humility and making Jesus the center of your life, actively trying to make Jesus the center of your life. What would Jesus do? Unselfish behavior. Don't stomp on Christ and other people. Acting again, becoming a servant, remembering that Jesus talking to his disciples, his apostles, telling them that they're going to have to be servants, not kings.
Mm-hmm.
And with resisting groupthink, getting away from. It's so easy when you're in a group and people start, backbiting other people, gossiping, being a little cruel. Step back and be the one that doesn't participate in that, and maybe someone else will step back with you. Acting that way, you can influence the way other people act. So, anyway, what we really came up with was that group praying leads to group thinking, which leads to group acting.
Bam, bam, bam. Beautiful. Fantastic.
What else did the great job, Green Table? What else did the other Green Tables come up with about what right acting involves? Yes, Anne.
So, to echo what you already said, we felt all of this applied to the other verses within 4. We noticed the word pure was used for the first time in any scripture that we had remembered, but acting honorable and obedient is very important, and adhere to WWJD, what would Jesus do? And it's, with praying and grace, we saw a nod to Mary. Those of us who were in last year's class studied Mary, and of course she was full of grace and pureness, and there was another reference that we thought about with regard to Mary. She had the God of peace in her, and they referenced the God of peace. So the right acting is in us, the right acting meant how we behave, and that at the end of the day, actions speak louder than words, and that we needed to keep that in mind.
Fantastic. Yes, I may. Let me see what else?
Actions speak louder than words, too. So we're on the same wavelength as everybody else. The words have to be received and understood. Anybody can act on them. To be not only hearers, but doers also. And what we think of colors are our actions. And also that these words are great advice to our children, too.
Fantastic. What I've heard in these comments, what St. Paul says in those in that verse 9, is to imitate me, in other words, imitate him. But I've also heard us talking about imitating Christ,
imitating Mary, imitating these stalwarts of the faith that we learn about through Scripture, that we learn about through our faith. One commentary recommended picking a saint to imitate. In addition to St. Paul or some of the saints that we read about in the Bible, there's a wonderful resource that I use every so often called Saint of the Day, which gives a longer explanation about what saint the church is celebrating. Today it's St. Francis of Assisi. As Nancy mentioned, he would be a wonderful one to imitate. If you've been confirmed in the Catholic Church, you have a confirmation saint who you might want to get to know, that the characteristics of that person's life, and imitate that person. You might have a mentor in the faith or a spiritual director that you'd like to imitate. But we have lots of examples. Jesus, of course, is the primary, but Mary, St. Paul, and many of these other saints who came before us in the faith who we can imitate. And that's what Paul's saying. Whatever you've heard or received from me, do. Imitate me. And how many of us could say that? I would not want anybody to imitate me. Maybe on my very best day ever of my life, but there's so many days that I would think, oh, I couldn't say that. You know, I can't say that, imitate me, but we have a host of people that the church brings us on a regular basis on the calendar that we could imitate. So that's another way to imitate someone and find someone that's worthy of imitating. Any other, have I missed anybody, any other burning thoughts before we pray some scripture from St. Paul to conclude? Jan. Interesting.
And it's all about that.
It's all about peace.
You look at the suffering that people go through and they realize they're in tandem with Christ's suffering, mm-hmm. and you can have peace in that. And that's what it's all about.
That's a great point. You can even have peace in your suffering. And so many of the saints did suffer. They didn't have these cushy lives. I mean, St. Paul was beheaded, you know, after all of his struggling and striving and running the race. Yes?
St. Teresa of Lisieux, she prayed for suffering. And she did.
She prayed for suffering. I know some of these saints, that would be hard to imitate.
Yes.
You know? She was really sacred. But she participated with Christ by participating in his suffering. And she imitated Christ by praying for that. That's a great point. Anne, did you have another?
Well, talked about the distractions, but in terms of finding people who are worthy of imitating, that Rich pointed out that we can find them on Instagram. Pope Francis is on Instagram,
yes.
And very inspiring. He's Francis.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, it's wonderful. The Vatican has gotten up to date with social media and those kinds of things, so that's wonderful. All right, because we're in a large group, we have time. Yes, Diane is waving the prayer card.
No,
we have time for you to fill out a prayer card. Also, if you would like to bring a prayer request to the large group, now's the time, and I'm going to conclude us in a prayer. Does anybody have a prayer request for the large group? Something that you don't mind people know about or that you want people to know about? Because the prayer requests that go on the cards are, of course, confidential and prayed by the prayer team. Anything anyone would like to bring up to the group for prayer? Amanda.
I would ask everybody to pray for my brother who's in seminary at Notre Dame for the Archdiocese of Atlanta and for all the men that are in seminary. Just, you know, they just need our prayers and our support, you know, because they're giving their lives for all of us. So.
And his name is Mark White.
Mark White and all the Archdiocese.
That's a great one. Any other prayer requests for this group, in addition to what you're filling out on the prayer cards? All right, you've heard me say a couple of times that Paul is quotable. Well, Paul is also prayable. I wrote a prayer this morning that came to me when I woke up based on certain verses. So if you want to jot down these verses, I'll send this out maybe in an email if anyone's interested. But we're about to pray from chapter 1, verse 6. From chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, from chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, and from chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. I'm not praying this as if I'm reading it. You'll see what I mean when I say we're going to pray scripture. This is another way. We started out today with a universal prayer from the church, the Glory Be, which is something that we've memorized, that we repeat. This is something I've put together, but you can do this very easily. You can pray scripture. If a verse strikes you that's important, you can pray about it. And here's how I wrote this prayer, and this is what we're going to conclude with. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have begun a good work in all of us by bringing us to the Bible study and helping us grow in knowledge and love of you. We recognize that you are the initiator and source of everything good in our faith journey. Forgive us for not fully grasping the sacrifice you have made for us on the cross and not living in complete awe of your name. We should be bowing before you every time we take communion, crossing ourselves when we pass a church with the tabernacle, spending more time in prayer and adoration. We're sorry that we don't. But forgetting our past attitudes and with your help, we press on toward our goal of growing in holiness and relationship with you. Help us turn our worry and anxiety into prayer. We present today's request to you, thankful that you hear us and confident that you will answer us in your time according to your will. Amen. St. Paul, pray for us. Thank you, ladies. We will see you in 2 weeks, October 18th. I hope you have a great week next week and enjoy some time off. We will be reading from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians next. And I will send out an email on Monday. Thank you for being here. I love you all. See you in 2 weeks.